the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's very familiar passage, our Lord Jesus Christ points to the righteousness that He calls all of us to, that was exhibited in the life of a Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. He deliberately chose someone who was not in that line of pedigree to illustrate how one should relate to one's neighbor. Because this is a very, very critical aspect in our daily lives as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And so our Lord encounters this man, a lawyer, whom Jesus encounters, and this lawyer was interested in eternal life. Now we have to, well, as he asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Let me read a couple of those verses to you just to get that context again. Our Lord says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" After the lawyer had asked him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so the lawyer answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Do this and you will live. Eternal life is just that. It's about life. Eternal life doesn't begin, though, when we go to the grave. It begins now, if we allow it, if we want it, if we choose it, if we accept it, this incredible gift that God would bring to us. We can give some credit to this man for expressing an interest in eternal life. Many who are enamored with the pleasures of this life don't even allow themselves to contemplate what awaits us when we depart this world. So the initial thrust of the lawyer's inquiry is noteworthy. But we can't give this person too much benefit of the doubt, because our gospel indicates strongly, this strong hint, as it were, regarding his intentions. When the passage reads that the lawyer desiring to justify himself said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" What we see at work in this man is very common to our fallen humanity. His question carries a heavy connotation of obfuscation. He was being evasive with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we do when God calls us to a task that interferes with our level of comfort. Let me remind you of the close proximity in the Mosaic Law of the love your Lord your God with all of your soul, all your strength, all of your might, and your neighbor as yourself. Those two things are coupled together. So St. Paul in today's epistle confronts this duplicity in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and following. He writes, "But this I say to you, and this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." This is what we are called to, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to good works. We're called to live this faith. We're called to bring forth good fruit in our lives. There's no such thing as cheap grace. We're not justified just by some intellectual assent that we give to a set of doctrines. We're justified by the righteousness of God working it out in our lives. How we live makes a difference. And that is determined in a very fundamental way in how we relate to our neighbor. And our neighbor, we know, is not just the person who lives to your right and to your left, maybe across the street. Our neighbor is whomever we encounter in daily life. God brings people across our paths. What do those people see? What do they experience when they interact with us? Do they see God in us? Do they hear His voice in our voice? It's an awesome responsibility. We share this ministry with Christ. It is His ministry through us. And this is the way, after all, that His love is shown to the world, is it not? It is primarily through His people. When we place constraints on our love and service to those in need, we engage in self-deception. If we feel tension when confronted with the needs of those whom God brings across our path, we must confront these feelings and by God's grace follow through in helping and serving the needy and the poor, and doing it with joy in our hearts, not begrudgingly, as St. Paul addresses in today's epistle. We cannot meet every need of every person we encounter. I'm not suggesting that. But let us not look for escape routes from good works for which God Himself has prepared us before the very foundations of this world. Let us listen to His voice, asking Him to guide us, to direct us as to how we might meet the needs of those who come across our path. To do so, if we are to to do so is to imperil our access to the path of salvation if we are neglectful of this. What we do with what God gives us is very important for ourselves and our salvation, as well as the many others whose lives are intertwined with ours. So may God give us each the grace, the compassion, the empathy that we need to carry His love to those whom we encounter, no matter who they are, no matter what their background, and thereby show the light of Christ and the love of Christ to a world without hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.